Pacho, and welcome to Key Cards once more. I'm Andy Penzonelli, hosting this episode, third in a month, no, in a month a bit, but Richard is back home, and he's healing, so that's good news in the bad things.
Yeah, Richard, yeah. We love you and we miss you. And we're glad that you're feeling better.
Yes. And you'll be back soon hosting the show. But don't worry, we are here to cover your bum bum. Sorry, that was fine. So it's not 9 o'clock. It's not that we are late. If it's 9 o'clock at your home, you forgot to change the time. Right?
I get confused about daylight savings.
We went back
like
1 hour.
It's 7 o'clock or...
No, it would be 9 o'clock.
We went back an hour. It feels like it's 9 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, it feels like 9 o'clock. So if you think we are late, no, it's you. Which, well, now you don't have to change any clock anymore because everything changes by itself. You woke up and, you know...
I don't really notice it.
I just had a wall clock that I had to... I looked at it and thought, what? It's already 8. And, no, I forgot to turn it back. So that was good. Well, another exciting episode, Georgia, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. We have a lot of guests tonight. We're going to talk. We're going to play some music. Maybe I managed to play that song that I wanted to play for 3 times now, but I didn't have to play.
Oh,
I want to play a song by Loredana Bertè. An Italian singer.
Is this the song about the people on the bus?
No. This is something that came out really wrong in the discussion. So let's forget about that and move on. That was in Italy. There is a lot of problems with the right, the party governing that very to the right. So. There is a lot of discussion because a winner has some Egyptian or African origin, so they weren't happy that he won Sanremo Film Festival. That's what I wanted to say, but it came out really wrong because they have a lot of boat coming over from Africa, and so the population is kind of tired of it, and so they voted the extreme right, which is like history never teaches, you know, feels like we're going backwards instead of forward. But we are here to laugh and have fun, so let's get this stuff behind, and later I'll play you that Italian song that I wanted to play.
Okay.
But it's a good song.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
All right.
And Loredana Bertè is is amazing. She was actually married with Björn Borg, the tennis player, in the 70s or 80s. Do you remember Björn Borg?
Have
you
ever heard? Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
No, you don't remember,
from the 70s.
Yeah.
I was around then.
Yeah, you were around. But maybe the name. No? No name? No.
Okay. I'm not going to lie to you, Annie. I'm not so familiar with my tennis history.
Okay. Roger Federer?
I don't. You could name any tennis player.
You don't know Roger Federer.
I don't know who they are.
Okay, go home now. Roger Federer is number one. Well, I don't know if it's number one still, but he's a Swiss tennis player. He's like the probably thing for us. We are so proud.
He
won so many.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I've
know.
Got good news.
What?
I discovered this week.
Yeah.
That I'm part Norwegian.
Your partner vision.
Cool, eh?
Cool.
That's just my exciting news. You can move on.
That's awesome. How much? 1%?
Nah, like, okay, so my Nana is 90%.
Oh, so you
are... I'm like almost a quarter.
A quarter. That's not bad.
It explains why I like boats and flats.
Yeah, nice. And fjords.
Yeah.
And the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
Because Norway is pretty good at that.
Yeah.
When they produce the show, it's the best show. And the Eurovision Congo is coming in May, so stay tuned.
Are we going to listen to some...
All the songs have been chosen, I think, but I haven't listened to it because I want to be surprised. I want to watch the show and be surprised and not knowing. So I'm going to listen to the song when the show comes out and then bring them over or tell you which song to play.
Okay, I have a question and then we can move on.
Yeah.
But it's an important question. How is Australia a part of Eurovision?
It's... because Australia is a huge fan of the Eurovision Song Contest, and so for the 60th anniversary, they decided, okay, you can come and sing for this year, And then it was Guy something, the singer.
Guy Sebastian.
Yeah. It did really, really well. It like came third.
Oh.
And so they're like, oh, maybe you should come next year too. And so they went next year too, and now is the third time.
That's so cool. And yeah.
But you know, how is Kazakhstan part of Europe? Cool. It's Asia. It's not Europe, you know. Eurovision was called Eurovision because it's a company called Eurovision. It's a company, the broadcast company that does Eurovision, and there was the logo tom tom ta ta tom tom ta ta ta. Have you never, you know, the Inno alla Gioia, I think the, I don't remember the title in English, Beethoven. It was a consortium of different TV station all in Europe. They put the money together to be able to produce some great stuff. And so then they decided, okay, we do us based on Sanremo. In Italy, they say, okay, we do something similar, but with different nation. And at the beginning, it was like 5-6 nation. And the first time was in Switzerland. And then they started to pick up, and now they have like 48 nations. But they are not all in Europe, because there is a lot of the Balkans, which are part of Asia, but it's part of Eurovision.
We should start a movement for New Zealand.
Yes.
Well, because why not? Guy Sebastian won Australian Idol and Stan Walker won Australian Idol.
I think
so that means we could do well. Because
it would be fun.
Because Guy Sebastian came third in Eurovision.
Yeah,
I know my history.
The thing is, New Zealand doesn't have like a commentary, you know. If you want to watch it, it's really hard. I don't know if it's probably on Skype. Well, YouTube does it for free. Eurovision, you can watch it on YouTube, but there is no commentary. Because the funniest way to watch it is to watch the British version with Graham Norton making the commentary.
Oh, I like Graham Norton.
Because, you know, he's a bit drunk, and then he makes a lot of fun. And the show is about having fun, you know?
Beachwear. Yeah. Beachwear.
Hello.
If you were invited to enter, represent New Zealand in Eurovision, okay, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
It's a great platform.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, although it's like,
I think it's like 100 million people watching it.
Yeah. Would you write a patriotic song?
Well,
100%.
Okay. It's hard for me to answer that one.
Ooh.
When is it?
It's on the 15th of May, Wednesday, and ends on Saturday 18th.
So we got like 3 weeks to put something together.
It's done in Tel Aviv.
Okay. No, we're in April.
Yeah, it's in five, six weeks.
You've got more than that.
Daylight savings.
So I think knock something out a couple of hours, I reckon.
I think it has like so many viewers. Well, now they cut out China. You know, they cut out China. Yeah. Because China last year, they blacked out their gay kiss.
So they
black out. There was a because it's all about the song, and then it's about the show they put on stage, and so they go live, and then China, they knew when the kiss would happen, they blacked it out, and they censored the gay kiss, and the Eurovision Song Contest said, no, our thing is to be inclusive, share love, and you can't cut without our permission. Yeah. And China, well, we cut it. And so I said, okay. And so the day after, they cut the stream to China. And so they had black. Wow. Well, if you want to cut, then cut the whole show.
That's a very strong statement.
Yeah, and it was a really great statement. And I don't know if they're back to show it, because in China it was pretty popular. But they say, if you want to show it, you have to show as it is. You cannot cut out stuff just because you feel like it's not. For you, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, because Eurovision... I don't know as much about Eurovision as you do, obviously, but I do know that Eurovision has been, like, a strong front runner in diversity in terms of, like, the acts that they have had on their stage. Conchita Wurst.
Yeah, Conchita. And then Israel had the first... I don't know if it was a transgender just a drag queen, but it was in the 80s, early 90s. There was like a big ooh, but you know, it's part of the arts. That's what arts does. That's what the beauty of it, you know, that we share the love. It doesn't matter if you whatever whatever, you know, pronoun you use, who cares? You know, just be you. And that's what Eurovision is, has been trying to do in a long, in a lot of time, where you have these countries, you know, Russia, Belarus, and, you know, all these countries that have been fighting, just meet together and sing a song. It's just it's the magic of Eurovision. And then, you know, the songs can be a little bit, you know, some are a bit funky, and but it's interesting to see what's, because that's the choice, most of them is the choice of the population of the country that chose, this is the best song we had this year. And so it's interesting to see the diversity in what a culture like, and what other people, that's like a little bit,
what would we choose? You know, it's so interesting. That's we've got the Independent Music Awards, the Tate Music Awards coming up on the 16th, Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but the following. And I was thinking in the car today that we should talk a bit about that during our show next week and play some of the music, because we have...
Send me a link so I can get prepared.
Yeah, because we have the most amazing acts, you know, and diverse acts. We've got Alien Weaponry, we've got Marlon Williams, the Beths. It's great.
That's
great.
Fantastic.
We'll talk about that next week.
But... it's not, it's Kick Hearts, it's not Annie and Georgia show, so let's go and meet our guest. What do you think? Is that a good idea? We have, let's do the proper introduction. So tonight we have really great guests. We have King Homeboy and Gary from Bradley Lane Illuminated.
Hey guys.
Hello. And then we have Rob and James from Beachware, which we just heard before.
Yes, kia ora.
And we're going to listen to some, a couple of songs. And then Adam, the man whose mother was a pirate, a new Tim Brady production, or is it a coming back show?
It's a coming back show.
Coming back show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did I say it right? The man whose mother,
the man
was,
whose mother was a pirate.
A pirate, yeah.
Yep. Are you
I'm
the
not
man?
The man. No.
You
no,
are the
no.
mother.
I play... I'm lucky. No, I'm not the mother either. Could be, though. Could be. Arts is open world.
Exactly.
And Tim is very for that. No, I play the sea captain and a boss and a cow and your highlight of my career. Highlight. I'm loving it. No, it's really cool. I've done a lot of them. So.
Only with Tim Bray you get to play a cow, isn't it?
Yes.
At least in New Zealand. I don't know any other show where you could play a cow or... donkey. I know
there's not many pantos
yet. It's coming, it's coming. I feel it's coming. So yeah, tell us about so it's for the holidays, I guess, this show, so because maybe we should talk now when the kids are still up. Guess it's for
it's
the young
for kids. For younger, I would say. Younger kids tend to enjoy it. It's simple and it's fun, you know. Like, I think that's kind of why what I enjoy most about doing this stuff is I just get to be a kid again, really, for two shows a day. It's ideally probably up to about 9 or 10, but any kid will enjoy it. And the adults will enjoy it too. We had our gala opening, which is mostly adults, last night. And
and they had the fun.
It's very different, as you can imagine. Some things mean different things in kids' shows to adult audiences, so it's rather funny. But enjoyable being a cow.
That's what has always been the good thing of the Tim Bray production. That's, there is always the little double entendre that, you know, kids don't get, but the adults like.
Yeah. But it's been around for a while. I think movies have done it for a while now, and I think that's it's almost like I've done a lot of shows with Tim, and I've realized how important that is. That's just a fact. Now you kind of have to be able to entertain everyone, not just the kid that's coming, but the nanny or the parents that are coming as well. It's important. And that is the great thing about with Tim Bray stuff, is it's always a certain quality and people know what they're going to get, kind of in terms of a really great show or for the kids and adults. So, but I'm loving doing it. I haven't done one for a while, and it's cool. So we're on for the all of the school holidays. You can book at timbray.org.nz, or you can call 489-8360. and book tickets for school holidays.
So there you go, kids. You have something to watch over the holidays. We already had something last week for them, no? Am I confusing? I don't remember.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, I did, right. But, yeah. But we'll come back and talk more. I'm curious to know how you get ready to play a cow.
Method acting on that?
Method acting.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
We'll talk about it a bit later, because it may go into that adult zone. And then we have King Homeboy and Gary, and they're bringing the Brandon Lane Illuminated.
Yep, it's an event that happens next Saturday in Glenannis at 5:30.
It's a one-off.
One-off, annual event, fourth year.
Fourth year, that's awesome. So it happens only once a year.
Yep, once a year.
Like, what happens once a year? Equinox happens twice a year, I think. The winter and the
this
summer.
It's even more exclusive than that.
It's more exclusive than that. So tell us, what is it all about?
It's all about...
It's about illumination, I guess.
Yeah, like... it happens in Glenannis, and we have a lighting contractor that sets up lights for the evening. There's a lot of street art in Glenannis. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with that, but we have up around 30 murals, and the lighting contractor lights them up, and then we place performers in different locations around the town centre.
Wow.
And then the crowd comes, and then we go on a big journey around the town centre where they get surprised by who we have in different corners. Yeah.
Is the artist then associated to the murals, or is it just...
No, they're not associated. They're, a lot of them are tutors at Te Oro, the Music and Arts Centre.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have a connection to Glenannis. We have local Kapahaka group performing, local East Cook Island cultural group performing. King Homeboy, who's here on my right, he's performing.
I'm performing as well. Yeah. Adding my 5 cents of vocal kung fu into the mix as well. For those who don't know who I am and where I've been, six-time New Zealand beatboxing champion. I have a world record under my belt. Been around the world, and just recently had social media blow up on me for what I did on the AM show back in December. But we're not here about that. We're here to talk about performing, music alongside with street art and the sort of type of flip.
So have you been involved already in the past editions, or this is the first time?
This is my first one. This is my first one. And I'm pretty honoured to be part of this as well. But, it's pretty cool, it's something new.
So beatboxing, you brought it up, so...
Sorry.
That's great, because I'm always fascinated. Beatboxing is kind of you play several instruments with your voice at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was... how much training to get that, or is it something that you always had in you and just and developed it?
Well, it's like there's a long story for me, which I'll try and simplify it. 1998 winter, I was sick, had the cold, was at home, started coughing, there's a rhythm.
Mm.
Curiosity, 1 month later, then the rest was history. That's the very, very, very,
that's how
very
it started
simplified
cough.
Yeah, I was coughing and the rhythm came out. I've been doing it for years, and it's like, that's just my journey. Other beatboxers who have come and gone over the 20 years that I've been doing it, that's a long time. Some of them have picked it up real quickly, and some of them have taken a while, but it's all up to a person. But it's just like anything, anyone can actually do it, and it's actually part of the original sort of human communication, so anyone that's good at linguistics can get like that, and then some people, it'll take them a while, but eventually it's like, if you can talk, if you can sing, you can definitely beatbox. So, there are levels, and there are some certain techniques, but just it becomes like music and art as well. It's not, you know, like my sort of philosophy that I try to promote is to sound like yourself. You know, it's like, yeah, start off getting other people's sounds and all that, getting ideas from other musicians as well, and also from the environment around you, just like a true artist would.
So, to prepare to this event, did you go and visit the location? Do you know the place and got inspiration?
Yeah, because I'm also a tutor at Te Oro Art Centre as well. I also do a course called Art Club, which is with my beautiful friend Diana Hu, who's also another performer in the show as well. So yeah, of course I've gotten to know Glenelinis Township, you know, and also the art around as well, and also seen videos, and also had a walkthrough with Gary himself as well. So yeah, you know, just getting all those little bits of information to try and conjure up some sort of I don't know, musical algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's mathematics, right? Music, they always say. So Gary, 4 years ago, you say you started.
Yep.
You started yourself.
Came up with the idea. Mm-hmm. The idea of putting lights around the town centre. Yep. A lot of the murals are in back alleys.
Yes.
So you don't get to really see it unless you use it as a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we put lights through there, and then along with Te Oro's help, we grabbed the lights from inside their theatre, and we use some of their performers that learn music there, and we started our Bradley Illuminated event.
So it's why one off then? Why only one night a year? Is it very complicated to put together, or
it's getting complicated? It used to be pretty easy when we didn't follow any sort of event permits or rules or anything. So, yeah.
We just throw something together.
Now, you know, we have to, like, once we learn that we need a traffic management plan, we need a few things. But it works well as a one night event.
Mm-hmm.
We have 11 performances this year. We have a promenade show to start it off. So at 5:30, we walk around the town centre, and there's 7 performances in different locations. And then we end up at the main stage, and then we have a main stage program, which are for up-and-coming talents as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we've added that to this year's event, which means more planning and more dealing with performers and stuff. So, yeah, it works well as a one-off event. We have another event called Bradley Lane Project, which happens during Art Week Auckland, and that's when we paint the murals.
Ah, yeah.
So we have kind of 2 events off the one idea around street art.
So the mural gets refreshed every year.
We add.
You add.
Yeah, we just find more walls to paint. So, yeah, we're up to 25 now, and then possibly 30 after Art Week 2019.
And then you have to expand to other suburbs.
Yeah, Panmure's on our list too. You know, we operate like I work as part of a trust. The Good, the Bad Charitable Trust, and we have a vision for Tamaki, which includes Panmure and Point England. So, yeah, there's lots of potential and possibilities around what we do with art in our suburbs.
How is the upkeep of this mural? Are people being respectful, or do you find that some mural gets just mistreated and somebody goes and do some stuff on top of it, you know?
So we've been painting murals there, like, officially, with permission, for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. And 95% of the time, they won't get tagged.
Okay,
you're
that's
on walls
good.
That normally are blank that would constantly get tagged.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we put a mural on it, that stops.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. So it stops vandalism, putting some artistic graphical stuff on it. That's awesome.
They seem to respect it, and obviously the town centre loves it because they don't have to deal with that issue.
Cleaning and because it's already painted. Yeah. And if it's, you know, if nice to look at, why not? There's a couple of murals in the city centre that I'm always impressed that no one has, you know, gone over and done some stupid things to it.
Well, I think it's just, you know, especially when they come, you know, like graffiti art, you know, coming from the rough roots that it has, you know, from when they used to do it back in Chicago and look for, like, white trains, you know, because, like, it was easy to put pieces on, because like the white needle's already there. Mm-hmm. If you know your art that you're painting, you know, that's like your primer sort of thing. And it was easy for them to do that. Tagging sort of people sort of get the wrong notation of what tagging is. Tagging, as the name says, tag, and you tag someone. It's supposed to be a piece done so quickly that it feels like you're tagging the wall that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, like some people do, just say their name just real quick, and it does look messy and all that. And even like artists like us, you know, who have been through that phase as well, we get like, oh, it needs more colour. It's not just, you know, not just like scribbling and you know, wrecking property without asking them and all that. And so when you see like a big piece, you know, it means like, one, someone's gone out of their way to actually make a piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and therefore it sort of becomes like a museum. It's like, it's sort of like this unwritten rule of, you know, have a look at it but don't touch it sort of thing. Yeah. If you do, everyone will look at your name and they can see it black, you know,
yeah,
plain square. Who did this? There's his name right there. And it's like, where is it? It's like, no, guys, don't.
Well, that's good. There is kind of a non-written law of the artist. Oh, that's awesome. Well, and then we go and have as well Robin James of the band Beachwear. Now I say it wrong all the time. Beachwear?
Yeah, Beachwear. You know,
is it right?
Time. Yeah.
It's just English, you know. Once you write wear with W-H-E-R-E and yeah, then W-A-R-E, yeah, and it's pronounced the same. Yes. I'm getting mad about it.
I'm sorry, but we can spell it the other way if you want.
Yeah, no,
spell it always.
Sorry. Beachwear.
Yeah.
How long has Beachwear been around?
A couple of years.
Yeah, it's been about 2.5 years now, kind of off and on, and trying to be more on this year.
Yeah.
Because, Rob, have you been living in Japan?
Oh, China. Yeah, I was in China for the last year and a half.
Are you back now, though?
Yeah, back for good now. But obviously that made making music a bit tough. But we still, like, I'd come back and we'd do some recordings and, you know, I was, I don't know, living 2019, you know, you can, like, send files and you can do so much even not being in the same country. So, yeah, we're just trying to kind of ramp up a bit more this year.
Yeah, it's been good. Some of those recordings have kind of been finally coming out that we've been working on. We had a couple of tunes out over summer, but one out 2 weeks ago called Leave It Alone, which has been kind of trucking along, doing well. And I think one more tune will be out
May
2nd.
Yeah. Is that a part of like an EP or like a bigger release, or you're just doing
just
the singles?
Singles, yeah.
Singles,
which
yeah,
you can totally do now. I mean, like 660 proved that.
Yeah.
Pretty strongly. Yeah. What did was it was like an album of 6 singles, right? Was
it? Yeah, it's just got 6.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was cool, and they won heaps of awards. And now you guys are going to win heaps of awards.
Yeah, that's the blueprint, right? Release songs, win awards. So. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think we're going to keep trashing along like that. Yeah.
Is that quite hard when somebody moves away, or like you're having this experience now with Alex? Alex, your other vocalist who's gonna go away and have a baby and be away for a while. Is it hard to like keep the motion of the band going? Like, what keeps
it
you,
can be. Yeah.
What
we,
keeps you going?
I think we find, at least Rob and I, because we're so excited about it, and we maybe have more time to commit to the project that.
Yeah.
When life gets in the way, yeah, like it can feel a little bit frustrating. But we just try and not stop, if that makes sense. Like if we're always doing a little bit, even if it's just a little bit moving forward and writing or recording or preparing for the next thing, it feels like progress.
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, it's just like, it's the fun thing, you know, we do a lot of the time. It's, you're just going to find ways to make it happen. Yeah, keep it going.
What's the most important thing in terms of progress as a band? Is it writing, or is it recording, or is it gigging, or what is it?
I think everyone does it differently. I'm sure, yeah, nobody will know that. Like, you can do all of those things or none of those things and still be moving forward. I think for us, we try and do everything. We do a little bit of writing, a little bit of recording, and a little bit of rehearsing for the next show. And that feels like we're kind of covering all our avenues. Yeah,
trying to keep some sort of momentum in all aspects is what we're aiming for. Mm-hmm.
Do you do live performances as well?
We do, and we love playing live, but it's been a little while now. Mm. It's been about a year since our last show.
Yeah, my being in China didn't help with that particular part.
You could have done with Skype, you know?
100%. Yeah, just being lazy on that front, really. Yeah.
There's a few talks for some shows coming up, but there is nothing locked in that we can tell you about.
Okay, so, cool. Let us know when there is a show coming up.
100%.
Do you have a favourite song, each?
Like of our own songs?
Of your own songs.
They're all bangers, right?
Yeah, that's true. My favourite song is one that is not out yet, but will be out very soon. And I'm really excited for everyone to hear it.
So it's not on Spotify yet?
Not yet. No. It will be soon.
What a tease.
What a tease. You have to come back.
Do you have it here? So we can have a world premiere?
Rob, is it the same deal for you?
Yeah, probably. Like on the EP, like there's some songs on there that I really liked, but like probably didn't really know
what we were doing.
Yeah. Maybe we weren't recorded the best, or I'm like, nah, there's still a tune, like, to me, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, part of a learning process, I guess. Yeah. But.
Personal favourite for me is Respite.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, I like that song.
I like the video and the song.
The video is really great.
The video is really good.
She knocked it out of the park on that.
It's a shame. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, was it a wish?
No, I think you should play the song they released. Was it not last week? Was it the week before?
Which one is it?
It's called Leave It Alone.
Leave It Alone. Ah, there you go.
It's a banger.
It's a banger. Well, and perfect duration for Eurovision. 3:34.
Oh, is this our, like...
Yeah. No, you have to cut it 30 seconds.
If they're listening, we will 100% accept your invitation to come and perform at Eurovision.
So Eurovision, if you want New Zealand to come over as well, just send us a letter or email at kickarts1@gmail.com. Marianne will take care of it. We'll put you in contact with Beachwear. Let's listen Leave It Alone, and then we'll come back for more here on Kick Arts. Can I use this? No?
I guess I'm older now, and it had to come around someday, but I can't help it all from coming now. Moving time to the far, staring only at your face. Wish your time in the same place. Fall in love on the dance floor. Moving time to the far, staring only at your face. Wish your time in the same place. Desire, leave me. Tell me that you still want me. It's the thought that stops me from coming down. Fall in love on the dance floor. Moving time to the far. Staring only at your face. Moving time in the same place. Fall in love on the dance floor. Moving time to the far. Staring only at your face. Lose your time in the same place. Anything, anything.
And this was Beachwear, Leave It Alone. Is it still playing?
No.
Not just in my head, it's playing. I have to switch on the mics, isn't it?
He just turned on his mic.
No, I just got confused because, your program here keeps playing the song. It's never stopping.
Yeah, it's a thing if you play a song on the desktop.
Yeah.
And then
it keeps going to the next
it
one.
It happens to me too. I get confused.
So I was like, why is it playing the song?
It actually keeps going. Is it running on Spotify? We get some of that Spotify
money? Yeah, when we can go through the whole album. It's not really album. The whole collection of songs.
More money for you guys. The Apple will pick up on that. So.
So are you as well on iTunes or
all of the biggest? We just send it to one person and they do everywhere for us. Yeah.
Do you send it to Andy at DRM?
We do.
Yeah. I love shout out to Andy at DRM.
Shout out to Andy.
Hi Andy. Sometimes. He's a great dude. We should get him in. Just I don't know if he's doing anything like arts related to talk about, but we should just get him in because he's cool. Andy.
Is cool. Well, Andy, just text Georgia if you want to come over and talk about whatever. We are welcoming. We are a welcoming family here. The Kick Arts for now. Isn't it amazing? We love everybody.
I actually have a slightly awkward Andy story. Do you
want to
hear it?
live on it.
Always some awkward stories. And then we need to have an update about your dating. I don't remember. What's your dating situation?
That's because I didn't want to talk about it live on air last week when you asked me.
I asked already last week and you kind of ignored me and now I asked again. But now at least I understand you don't want to talk about it. So what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I didn't have breakfast.
Oh, see?
But I went and saw my nana and I brought her a coffee and she was so hilarious. Aww. She's got dementia, but she's at that point now because she doesn't know who I am, but she just says really, really hilarious stuff. Mm. Like she was showing me how much cake she could fit in her mouth.
How much was it?
Not that much, but more than me because she's got no teeth.
So she has more space.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good.
That's awesome. So where were we? You wanted to tell us an awkward story? No?
Oh, yeah, I've got an awkward story. So I went to the Music Commission Christmas party last year and I had too many drinks. And then I decided to ask Andy on a date. And then nothing happened about it. But it was like one of those things where it's like he knows and I know.
I have to email him
in a professional context because I didn't know who he was until I had to email him like a week later. And I'm like, this is really awkward.
Did you go out on a date or no?
No.
Still no? Are you available for dates?
No.
Okay. So Andy, sorry, too late.
But he's got a good beard and he's an interesting person.
Okay.
Do you reckon should I, okay, advice though, should I acknowledge it? Should I be like, oh yeah, so that was awkward, or should I just leave it?
Nah, just leave it.
Yeah. Leave it. Listen to it right now.
Nah.
It's not like you talked about it on the radio.
Yeah, just send this audio when you're settling and say, Andy, listen at about 38 minutes. There is a message for you.
It's just a bit awkward.
Oh, well. Life is awkward. You know, it's fine. It's all good.
All right, thanks.
And then, you just move on.
I feel better about it now.
Yeah, it's all good.
Does anybody have anything they want to share they need advice on, or just me?
Yeah, okay, we open the lines now. If you call 0800 KICKARTS and we're going to solve...
Not our number?
Huh?
It's not our number.
No, but if they try, maybe they reach somebody. I don't know. You know, if you dial key cards, 0800 key cards, maybe it's something. Imagine, maybe. Anyway, let's go back to... Now, I was confused, I have to say. This is my limitation of my little brain, Doris. I was confused... You know, Grey Lean, New Lean. There is so many Lean in Auckland. And so, let's meet up in Grey Lean. And then I'm here. And then, oh, no, this is New Lean. Yeah. Why so many Lean?
Wait, is that story going somewhere?
No, it's not. Yeah. I was trying to bridge back to...
Segue.
To, yeah, segue, but... to Bradley Lane Illuminated, but it didn't work out. Thank you, Georgia. You're so helpful tonight. You threw me under the bus, and then not just you went forward, you put the reverse, and you get and you squished me again.
It was a good story.
Yeah, it was a good story. Mine or yours?
Your story. My story was average.
So, now, is it Graylin or Newlin or whatever Lin? Where is Bradley Lane Illuminated? Tell me.
It's not in any Lin.
Is it not in any Lin?
Glen Innes.
Glen Innes. You see, and then there is Glen and... Oh, damn me. Glen Innes, I think I went there and there is a good pie shop. Is it there?
What was good? My bakery or...?
I don't remember. I just see pies and I go in. And it was a good pie. Is there a Salvation Army there? Is there a Salvation Army? A big one. Yeah. Then I went there. You see? But I don't remember the name of the places.
Did the idea of, like, hosting the event come before, like, did you select Glen Innes specifically, or was the idea to do something in Glen Innes first?
I grew up in Glen Innes, and I guess just being a visual artist, painting the walls before we even came up with the idea, it was just a natural thing.
So are some of the murals yours?
A couple of them are, like, cool. 2 out of 25, so cool. The rest of them are from, you name it, like, a lot of the top street artist in New Zealand.
So you're a visual artist.
Yep.
How does a visual artist survive nowadays?
By being pretty flexible and open to, like, you know, doing a lot of different things rather than just thinking you can make art and sell it.
Mm-hmm. So you do as well, like, commercial stuff and...
I don't do commercial stuff. No, that's something that I, you know, I've never been approached. Mm-hmm. Maybe once I was approached and it never really happened, but I teach art.
Okay.
I apply for funding for events like mm-hmm. Brady Lane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a range of different things.
Ah, that's awesome.
Is there a lot of opportunities to get funding for art like that in Auckland?
I think so. Like, there's Creative New Zealand, there's your local board,
mm-hmm.
there's... Well, that's the main two that I go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more you build up your own CV, the more credibility you get.
Yeah,
and probably it's getting easier to present new ideas and say, look, I've done this in Glen Innes.
Yep.
And what about doing it in Newlyn?
Yeah.
So Glen Innes is east, right?
Yeah, east.
Ah, okay. Then I know where it is.
I ran like a little house run, a little street festival thing in Newlyn a couple of years ago.
Ah, there you go.
Not very successful. It's
because you didn't know Gary. Gary would have made it like Batum.
It's because we had this idea that we were going to do no promotion. That people are just going to come along.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Didn't you study social media?
Look, it was not my idea. But I think it was kind of like it was part of it to not... So you couldn't fail.
Yeah.
Because the idea was just to have it. But then, yeah... Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. That
sounds like an art piece of itself, like a video clip for, like, I don't know, an upcoming beach career sort of video clip. make, you know, that'll be a nice video clip. Actually, set up a stage.
Yeah.
These guys perform on it, perform your song to a crowd of no one.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I mean,
middle of
the street.
Before.
Yeah, we've
done promotion.
It a few times.
Yeah.
So. That's a great idea.
That hasn't been done yet. So.
Can I have that one for free?
Yeah. that's what artists do. It's going to take me forever to come
up
with
that. I'm honestly trying to monetize that.
Because when they teach art, sadly, they don't teach much marketing. They should teach a little bit of... No, they do.
Surely
now?
They do. Do
they do now?
I don't know. Has anybody studied?
Well,
does anyone know the answer?
Gary is a teacher. Do they teach artists how to sell themselves a little bit nowadays?
Ooh, maybe.
Because it's important, right? Is at least how to get out there and apply for funding and. Because art is so important, you know. Without art, this board would be, like, so boring.
Yeah. I've learned it all just by myself.
We've learned all our crafts by ourselves, you know, like, like before the internet, you know, became big, you know. You know, like I'm sure all of us in here remember the dial-up. With the little square going up and down and up and down between the telephone symbol and the computer symbol.
And don't stay too long because the phone bill is going to go up.
But there are some, there are, like, I have seen some sort of like smaller funded courses for like people to like try and market themselves. Like, yeah, I know that in Wellington, DJ Raw and DJ Shan, they run which used to be the only DJ school in the whole country. Part of that course is also about marketing as well. How to use networking. That's part of the module. That's part of their units. That's one of the units that you can get stuff on. So it's like, it's not like a big huge thing on itself, but it's, it's slowly integrating, and like, you know, like I'm sure all of us could agree when I say that's, it's good that it's here, but yeah, it's definitely been a bit late coming.
I think you have to, you just have to, as an artist in this country. Like I trained many years ago and kind of learnt. We had a little bit of it. I went to New Zealand Drama School and you do get taught a little bit of it, but it's something you don't really learn until you're out there and doing it and working and juggling life. Like I think we all have a big challenge in this country, all of us as artists. So yeah, I've learned to kind of run my life as a business, and you have to make yourself number one. And I mean, it sounds kind of simple and easy, but it's really weird as an artist. I think once you live it and have to go through that and miss out on stuff and can't eat, and you know, I think we're all nodding our head in here, no one can see out there, but because we all live it, and it's tough in the country this size when you can get so much funding and all that stuff. So
it's competitive as well.
Yeah, it's like, really competitive. Yeah. I was going to ask, are you guys really involved in that side of it with your band? Or
Like,
do you leave that to like a marketing person?
No,
in terms
not
of the
at all. We do everything ourselves. Right. And like, as an example, from day one, we've applied for funding for videos or recording and stuff. And it's so competitive. They do these rounds every couple months, and it's like, we did get a grant kindly in the end, but it took us about 2.5 years or something before.
So New Zealand,
And like, there's a ridiculous amount of good music out there.
Yeah.
So like, when you put a song forward, it's like, oh man, it kind of sucks I didn't get like any funding. But then you listen to stuff out there, and you're like, oh, well, it's not. Yeah, it's hard for them. Like, they can only give out so much money, and it's not like we have like massive resources.
Mm. Yeah, it's 4.2 million.
That's right.
People and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a very strong art community and very creative people living in New Zealand. So
it kind of makes you creative too.
Yeah.
Because you have to find a way.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to stay in it, if you want to, like, doing what you do for so long, I feel a little crazy, you know, when you spend 20 years of your life doing something and you kind of, it's a challenge. But now you get to a point where you go, okay, now I know why I'm doing it. Now I know why I've lived my life. So, you know, it's been a challenge, but I'm an artist and I get to live like this, and I don't go to a can factory every day and all of that stuff. You know, it's like, that's kind of what's important in your life, I think. Well, for me,
Ways.
You kind of make it important to yourself about.
I saw myself, I do stuff as well for corporate world, so that's what pays the bills. So then from time to time I get a nice project to do, and it's fine, and you can do it for, you know, a fraction of the price just because it's fun to do. So there is a lot of ways. If you want to do, if you want to be in the arts, there is a lot of things that can be done, and one thing is being just willing to just, you know, be flexible, like we said before, and you know, and do different stuff, and there is always a cool project that comes in, and then you have to do the stuff that are still cool. I'm lucky enough now, I work mostly with disabilities trusts and stuff, so it's a really great environment to work with, and what I do, you know, I know it's going to help people as well and support people. So I found my little way to give it back, and you know.
I think as well, like, we were having this conversation last week with, we had some of the cast, the team behind Astro Men come in, and who are really, really amazing people, and we were having this conversation with them about how all the different roles that you have to be able to fill at certain points working in the arts community, and how actually, like, within the arts community, you've got to have a willingness just to roll up your sleeves and get it done and get in there and just do what it takes. And you know, like, for me, I'm not an actor, I work in events, but there's been a lot of, like, I've had to do unpaid work a lot to get to like where I am now, where there's lots of work that's available to me now, and I have to do that so much. But it's like, you have to do it if you want to work in the arts.
Yeah, even though that's, I'm always a bit about the unpaid work, I think it's something that needs to change, because even though you just started, you are 18 and you do, and it should be recognized. So
you get paid an exposure. Right.
Yeah, exposure, but, you know, exposure.
To a certain extent.
That's how they sound.
Yeah. I think, you know, something needs to be like food or whatever, but not completely for free.
No, absolutely. I think people need to be catered and have their petrol paid for and that kind of thing. But also I think that, like, a lot of the time, it's easier to not take on interns or people that are totally fresh than to take them on, you know, to teach somebody. And you take a risk when you're working, you know, on a big event or whatever it is, or, you know, doing a play and taking somebody on that doesn't have as much experience. Mm. You know, you are opening yourself up to, like, things potentially being a bit disastrous. So I think that to a certain extent, you don't want to take advantage of people, and you don't want to get people in as free labour just, like, for free labour, I think, but...
I
don't know.
Like, I also run an event called Bradley Lane Project before I did Bradley Lane Illuminated. We've been doing it for 7 years. For the first 2 years, we did it for free, like, as artists, like, no one was paying us.
Mm.
And we'd apply for funding and no one would give us anything, so we just kept doing it.
Mm.
In the third year, we managed to scrape some money just for materials.
Mm.
And then from the fourth year, I was always applying for funding at the time, being the organiser, and eventually, like, they started coming around to it. But every year, it's up to me, I feel, to apply for more to be able to pay more to who we have. So we started off with nothing, then was able to pay them a little bit, but now I'm able to get more funding.
Yeah.
We've increased the amount of artist fees that we're paying.
So that's good.
People that run events, I hear that a lot of people do it for free, and I just wonder, like, you know, whoever's organising it, how are they trying to, you know, to move forward and getting more money to fund?
And even just making a nice environment for the people that you have involved as well, I think, and making sure that they do feel appreciated. Because, like, I work in a lot of events that we are community, we are run by volunteers, and it's nice that I'm able to get, like, enough paid work that I have the option to do a lot of voluntary stuff now. But it makes a big difference when you're able to, like, feed people and give them a shirt and, like, whatever.
And
the
nuggets on there, and that was all nice too. All that stuff.
Food. Yeah. I totally agree with you, though. Like, you can't take advantage of people in the arts community. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is the big ones that take advantage, but we don't go into that because I have. We'll open the Pandora's box. Let's listen to a song, and then I want to go back and I want to listen to King Homeboy beatboxing a little bit. But do you want to listen to King?
Yeah, if that's an option.
I asked him on the previous music break if it was an option. If not, I wouldn't have brought it up.
That would be.
So I finally played that song that I wanted to play a long time ago. Finally. So here is for you. This is Loredana Bertè. Loredana Bertè. Such a good name.
She's got great hair. She looks like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, blue hair. Well, but she's way older than Lady Gaga. She is... How old is she? Her story is really... it's my mom's age. So she's... 69. What?
Huh?
27.
Hey, I heard the other day that the Queen is 91.
Yeah.
What a great age.
Yeah, her mom lived over 100.
No, actually, I think she's actually 93. Yeah,
she's in the 90s.
Who sends her a card when she turns over?
That's what I was talking about today. Like,
yeah.
Who does she get a card from?
Oh, my right gosh, I just typed the Queen.
Congratulations.
Do you think that Queen Elizabeth is going to...
Yeah, the Queen.
Well, I know Charles does send her a card.
Oh, she's 92. Charles,
he's 92.
He'd better for Charles that does. Birthday, too.
Who's going to take over after her? Charles.
Charles, yeah.
Charles.
It is A. It is Charles.
Is he going to abdicate straight away?
George.
No, and Williams William. Is in the middle, right?
William.
Yeah, it's Charles, then William, then George.
Yeah. But do you think Charles will sit on the throne, or will he give it away and say
no?
Nah?
Totally will.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's saying no to that.
He's
ready to all his life.
And then, if I'm back next week, I'm going to play another song from Loredana Bertè's sister, Mia Martini.
She good?
Yes, sadly she killed herself in 1995. And that's a really sad story, but we talk about it next week. sorry, that was the nervous laugh. I shouldn't have laughed. It's very sad. I'm still sad when I listen to her songs, because you can see the sadness in her
voice.
She
is the sister of?
Of Loredana Bertè. The one we're gonna hear now,
with the blue hair.
With the blue hair, yeah. So we're gonna listen to "Cosa ti aspetti da me?" What are you expecting from me, or what do you want from me?
What are you asking me, or is that the
no? That's the title translated in English.
So "Cosa ti aspetti da me?" I'm expecting something odd from you.
Oh my goodness!
Something unexpected, something really cool, but
yeah,
like I've never heard before.
No. I don't really understand how this plays. Ah, there you go. Let's listen to some Italian music. C'è qualcosa che non va per essere seduti qui, per dirsi almeno e dire almeno le cose inutili che ti sembra vero solo se doveva andare poi così, che vuoi dare tutto, vuoi dare tutto. Resti lì ed io ci credevo, ed io ci credevo, sì. Ci vuole soltanto una vita per essere un attimo, perché ci credevi, perché ci credevi, sì. Ti aspetti tutta una vita per essere un attimo. Che cosa vuoi da me? Che cosa vuoi? Poi finisce qui, puoi fare a meno di fare almeno le cose facili, se è vero poi più vero è, se va bene, va bene così, e fragile, fragile, resti lì, e io ci credevo, sì, ci vuole soltanto una vita per essere un attimo, e tu ci credevi. Ci credevi, sì, ti aspetti tutta una vita per essere un attimo. Che cosa vuoi da me? Che cosa vuoi? And this was Loredana Bertè with Cosa ti aspetti da me? And again, this is playing.
Which means, what do you want from me?
Yeah, what do you want from me?
I speak Italian now.
Yeah, now you speak Italian. I'll teach you Italian if you want.
Oh, yeah, can you teach me a sentence in Italian?
Yeah, what do you want?
Teach me, I would like a frozen Coke.
Vorrei una Coca-Cola ghiacciata.
I can't say that.
You chose the hardest things to say. What's wrong with you?
I'm feeling parched. That's what's wrong with me.
Like, well, I
don't
really
want
one.
Yeah, I could go for a
frozen Coke. It's a delicious treat, eh? It was so good when they decided to stop doing it only at the movies. Yeah. Hey, have you seen Daffodils?
No, I haven't.
Okay, can you tell me what it's like once you've seen it?
I don't know if I'm going to go and see it.
Yeah, but... My friend
Liz worked on it. She was assistant editor, I think. I can ask her, but it would be... Good. Of course, she would say, it's amazing! Yeah.
It's
because when you work on it, it's... Just go and watch it.
Okay, I will.
And then you'll let me know.
I'll do a review.
Yeah, and then you do a review.
Innie does the best reviews of TV and movies and stuff. Are you a cinematographer?
No.
What do you call it when you do the editing? You're an editor.
I'm an editor. But it's always easy to trash all the people's work. And then when you get yours trashed, then you get really mad. Why am I saying that? No, I'm fine with it. If people... It's always a thing of taste, you know? And I had to learn how to switch off my editing brain watching something, because why did you cut there? But when I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody...
Man, that movie is good.
There was a scene where I was really like, what the hell was the editor smoking?
It won an Oscar, but that part where I was very confused,
in 3 minutes he had like 127 cuts, something like that. Cut.
Yeah.
And then he said, when the band is talking to the manager outside at the table, it's really badly cut.
And then the
editor came out and said, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. That scene is really bad. If I had a second chance, I would recut it because it's really bad.
I mean, he's got the gold statue, so like...
Yeah, well, you know, now he can say, you know. And it is, you know, the Oscar, it is what you do, the topic you are talking about that gives you the Oscar in the end. Kate Winslet said... To win the Oscar, I played a bad woman during Nazi time and was sure I would get the Oscar, and that's how she got the Oscar.
Wait, for what? The Reader.
The Reader. It's a book, a German book. The book is really... the movie is not as good as the book, as usual.
I watched a really good movie with her in it yesterday. Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, yes, I love this movie.
Anyone who hasn't seen it, I recommend it. It's from 95.
I started rewatching Windows with a View.
Yeah.
One of the production.
That's got Helena Bonham Carter in it.
Yes, a very young and a very young. What's her name? Now they're all old. You know, she played in Harry Potter as well, and
Emma Thompson.
No. Maggie Smith. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, it's very very young. 85, but that's a movie when you cannot sleep, you put it on. It's very slow. It's Merchant Ivory, but they're really great. They were a couple for a long time, but no one knew they were a couple, and so they kept producing movies together, but they were a real couple in real life, but they were hiding their relationship by producing movies. And they produced one of the amazing movies, like Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins did too.
Were they together?
Yeah, they
Emma
were. Merchant and Ivory, the producer and director.
Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins.
No, Brennan can. What is his name?
Old
Man. Now I don't remember. Let's move on, because we're going to get lost in stuff that are too old. You weren't even born.
I was born in the 70s. We discussed this earlier.
What is your cream that you use to keep yourself so young? And
it's by Nivea.
I thought you were 25.
I'm actually 26.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You look younger. 18.
Yeah.
Adam. Well, yeah.
That was a quick.
That's what I cried. Well, you know, I had to get out of this hole. That So tell me about playing the cow.
Cow. Oh.
So it's a big. What do you want to know? A big character. Is no, a big character it's, or. Is, or is just like a side character?
No, I play. Yeah, I play along with another wonderful actor. I play the other side characters to the main character. So the main character is a man, obviously, and
a man,
mother,
yeah,
and his pirate.
Yeah, well,
who is a pirate? So I get to play other characters, which I always enjoy doing. It's more fun. It's much more fun.
So you have to run in the backstage, change quickly, or do you have time to...
It's, to me, I look at it like a 55-minute physical workout.
Who needs to go to the gym, right?
That's honestly what doing kids' shows is, especially now.
Yeah.
Like when I started, you know, if I did a while ago, but now it's full on.
Yeah.
You need so much energy. You need so much energy. I haven't done one for a while, and I think... Coming back to rehearsing it, that's what struck me, is how much energy you need. Because you can't fool kids.
No.
You cannot fool kids.
We always say that.
They are the most honest audience ever. So it's quite crack up when I have talked to actor friends and you who work and do a lot of different stuff. And there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, oh, you just do kids' theatre and things like that. So... But it's a real challenge.
Mm.
It's a huge challenge.
If they get bored, you have no chance.
Well, you, exactly. And they tell you.
Yeah.
Adults don't tell you if they're bored of the theatre. They'll just say, oh, whatever, you know. But kids will tell you. And that's, I've had that in my face whilst doing a show. And it was honestly one of the biggest challenges. And I've been to Edinburgh Fringe Festival and had an amazing, did an amazing show over there in 2015. So I've done some really cool stuff. But the biggest challenge is probably kids in my face questioning what you're doing because you can't fool them.
So when you act in front of kids, do you keep like more of an eye towards the audience to see how it's going? Or now you are fine, you know, this is... So proof that you don't need to.
I'm kind of an actor who knows everything that's going on in the audience. Mm. It's funny you asked that. I became aware of that in the last show that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that if that's because I've been doing it for a while, but I can't help but see what's going on in the fifth row or see who...
Yeah.
I can't help
who's
that.
Sneezing.
Yeah.
Who's eating the candy.
Yeah. Or how many people there are in the house or... Which is weird because I talk to other cast members and most of people I've talked to, well, I wouldn't have a clue, don't concentrate on it. I can't help but know. Mm. But I think, yeah, with kids, now I'm uber aware of it because you want them to stay with you.
Yeah.
And you have to change every second if they're not.
And
you have to keep you, because they're just so quick, man.
The team by production usually kind of involve the kids, right?
Yeah, this one is really full on. So I start with a pirate captain character. And right from the word go, I get the whole audience into being part of it.
Mm.
So this one is a bit more than the last couple ones I've done. But with kids show, that's what I like about it. Otherwise, it's kind of, you know, that keeps it fun, is kind of using their energy as well.
Is there a big difference in the age groups? Like, if you were doing it with younger kids, is it quite different to doing it with slightly older kids?
So different.
In what way?
Oh, just what they find funny, what they stay with you, you know, where their focus goes, what they like more. Just so different. Obviously, with younger kids, it's just all about loud and big and funny and comedy. But, yeah, if you have older kids... But it's weird if you do two shows and you have two different age with schools and you kind of have to adapt it. So, it's a challenge. I like it. It's been a while since I've done it and been back and doing it and kind of all of those different things... If you make it important enough to you, then it's a really good challenge as an actor, you know, if you care about how the audience there. And so
that's awesome. So now we need to bridge over and what's go to New Lane. No, not Glen Innes. No joke?
No, I thought
she's looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah,
I thought it was good. I liked the Newland story, the Newland story.
The Newland and Grayling and Glen Innes. I always get confused. Luckily now there is a map on your phone, so you just type in the thing. King Omboy. So, it's your turn.
I've got a question. Where did the name come from? It's a great name.
Well, here's the legendary story of how my name came along.
Can I guess? I want to guess. Let me guess. Homeboy, you like to be at home watching TV and you are the king, no? No.
Anyone else wants a kiss?
That would be mine. I'd love to be at home.
So how it came about was during the 80s. I think it was 85, I think. And back in Wellington, I guess that's where I'm from. It was I don't know which exact suburb, but it was an Upper Hutt. And back then, the Upper Hutt Posse, legendary New Zealand hip hop group, they were like one of the big acts back then, and apparently they were also known for sometimes to after parties at people's houses, especially when they were at home in Wellington. And Mum had a friend who lived in Upper Hutt, and Mum had been there like the night before, and she forgot something. She had left something there, so she had to go back there. And it was just me and her, so I was in the car, and we pulled up to her friend's house, and it was full of people, you know. You know, people just partying, you know, just, you know, sensibly-ish. Before they got too drunk, stuck around. But she got me, and I came because I was only three at the time, and she came in, and I was like, "Oh, what's this? Oh, it's our posse after party." Well, sort of, you know, people come, and as Mum was getting her stuff and we were about to go out, Dean Harpeter, who can't remember this, I don't know why, but this is how I got it. One of the members of the Upper Posse said, oh, set your boy, you know, just be nice, you know. So, oh, set your bubba there. So, yeah, how old is he? Oh, he's three. So, what? That's a pretty little king-size homeboy, isn't it? You know, then we went out, and then Mum told me that story a few years later. During the 90s, where it became so hip to have a tag name, I ran with that one. But eventually it was called King Homeboys, which was supposed to be quite a few people. But no one wanted to be part of my crew. So I just kept to myself, just see King Homeboy, and I've had it since then. So... Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a great name.
It's a great name, isn't it?
It's a very hard name to hold up as well, because like especially with the internet now, it's like people, you know, it's like you type up your name and it's like someone else might have taken it, but now you type it up, you know, people have typed up trying to use that name and they find me and they're like, oh no, I better not use it. He's got it.
He's got it.
Taken.
Yeah, it's taken. He's got it. And it's like, oh, okay.
I have to trademark it. Register and copyright everything, you know. Do you have do you buy the domain?
I haven't bought the domain yet. I don't have total copyrights to it, but I think it's because since I've been performing with it for so long, I think I'll just win because of time. I think that's it. So,
yeah.
So, you know, but yeah.
Well, shall we listen to some beatboxing?
Yes, please.
Jordan is feeling like
maybe it was with, you know, the, like, kids in the store. So, oh my God, here we go.
Are you like improvising, or this is like a piece that you know? And
I'm going to improvise this.
Improvise.
The best way you can, you know.
That's awesome. So this is King Omboy with some beatboxing.
Just tell me when I'm going too long, because sometimes if you give me free reins, I end up going for it.
I'll do the Italian sign of squeezing. squeezing. that's like cut the time. It's in the Italian part with the squeeze. Okay? Yeah, it's squeeze, squeeze.
If only they could see what you're doing.
Well, you can do two. It's really nice. One is like, yeah, you can.
It's funny that you're doing that thing in front of Kazi here.
It's radio, not television. But so phones coming out. But all right.
If you have any complaints to the broadcasting standard authority, please write to.
I'll sign you when you can round up.
Okay. I'll try not to go any longer than five.
All right. How about that? Go for it.
Okay. 1 minute doing warm ups now.
Yeah. So
Yay!
Something like that.
It's like, it doesn't sound like it's just you. It's like there's so many different things going on all at once. It's amazing.
And also, like, just taking off, like, South American and African put together sort of funk sort of thing. Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Because I was trying to do the cuica, and I kept, I had like a bit of stuff at the back of my tongue.
Ah.
I was trying to do. But you're not.
But that's what happens when you play live.
Has the way that you beatbox evolved a lot since you started?
Oh yeah, just like the human body as well. And any vocalist would agree. The tone, then also like the tone of voice changes as well. Also the muscles inside the back of the skull as well also changes. Even little things like how your ears develop can also take up some of the volume capacity at the back of the throat, which can also make you sound for males deeper or for females bit higher as well. So yeah, I totally sound totally different to when I was 19. I would say more like expanded out, you know, on my own thing. I hardly ever use the word evolve because you know, I'm still me sort of thing. But yeah, I've expanded out on the ideas that I've developed the hard way on the streets, you know, without any sort of manual, you know, just doing the old constantly, here's an idea, do it over and over again, you know, until it's like, you know, like Kung Fu, you know, you keep doing the same strike over and over again until you can get through the wall. I picked up ideas from other people now, and because I used to be real prideful of not trying to sound like someone else, you know, too much to the point where even if they had a nice sound that I could do, I wouldn't do it because it's just my sort of hip hop sort of upbringing of trying not to exactly sound like someone, which is sort of a problem, which I won't open too much of. That's another Pandora's box, but yeah. A lot of people are sounding like each other, and the beatboxing world doesn't escape that either, and that's something I've always challenged on. You know, used to be real staunch about it, but now I'm just a more, you know, just now I'm just a bit more like, you know, understanding as well. You know, because some people could have just learnt from a certain person, and that's all they sound like. You know. Mm-hmm. And then someone like me telling them off, I feel a bit shameful afterwards. It's like, oh, I should have told them off. That maybe that's all they know. Mm. And so it's like, oh, here's some other stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Because me growing up, like, it was always hip hop, you know, just to some vocal samples, you know. It was always like other formats, you know, easy funky beats, like, you know. And for me, even when I was in my early years, I always try to venture out to other genres as well, but because I was being told off by so many so-called gatekeepers of hip-hop, they said, nah, you shouldn't do that because it's hip-hop. And it's like, well, actually, the name beatboxing comes from, it's actually called human beatboxing. Sorry, here comes Dr. Iron Boy educating everyone. The word beatboxing comes from, well, it's actually called human beatboxing. The story goes like this: there's a peripheral, an electronic peripheral drum loop station called a beatbox, and it has four buttons on it. Yes, you can go search it up. And it has four buttons on it, and it was a drum loop station. Used to cost about $500 back in the 80s. Of course, most of the hip-hoppers back then couldn't afford it because, you know, there's so much, you know, let alone, you know, it's like $2 an hour. How can you get $500 like that? And so some of the guys would be like, oh, yeah, would, you know, be like, oh, let's, you know, copy sounds, and they were copying the sounds of the beatbox loop station, you know, which is like that back then, the 80s, which is like, you know, or, you know, back then, you know. And then that's where the word human beatboxing came out of. And from there on, people like Dougie Fresh, you know, and Slick Rick, you know, did that. You know, when you hear that song, Ladi Dadi, that's like most legendary, legendary song for like rappers, you know, for has most punchline, most sample punchlines in it. But also Dougie Fresh beatboxing on it is also legendary because that was the first ever commercially recorded beatboxing track ever, you know. And years later on, you know, people like me have been able to go into it, and yeah.
Well, we should make a King Homeboy special episode. So many great stories.
Oh my gosh, that would be cool. That would be so cool.
Well, Marianne, write it down.
People see you perform live at the...
Ah, yeah. At New Lean, no.
I was starting a segue for you, but...
Oh, it didn't work. The synopsis didn't work. Well, it will... If you want to listen to King Homeboy live... He's going to be at Glen Innes at the Bradley Lane Illuminated on...
Saturday, 13th of April from 5:30 p.m.
So Saturday, 13th of April from 5. So this coming Saturday already. Damn, where does the time go? it's incredible. If you want more music, go on Spotify, iTunes, whatever... old music, and you can find Beachware with a lot of songs.
Yeah, a few. Yeah, you got a few up there.
Yeah, just go there.
I could also recommend following them on Instagram.
Ah, follow them on Instagram.
For good times.
And it's Beachware.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Or if you want to see Adam playing a cow and more, and watch the next Team Bray show over the holidays. You can repeat. When is it on?
Where? It's on at the Pump House Theatre over in Takapuna. You can get tickets at timbray.org.nz or 489-8360. School holidays, it's on.
Yeah, so school holidays sorted for you. Well, it's another episode gone like this. So fast. Georgia.
I did a click.
Well, thank you everybody for coming over. Don't forget, if you want to be here and part of the Kickarts for now, it's really easy. You can just email to kickarts1@gmail.com. Did I say it right?
Nailed it.
Yeah, and if you can, you can find more information on the website kickarts.org.nz, or you can find us on Facebook. Google Facebook Kickarts and you find everything, show, past show, everything, what Georgia is doing. It's all there, kind of. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been Annie Benzonelli. Have a lovely start of the week. Until next time, good night.